Your damn Skippy starts now. Happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop. Yes. I'm Reginald Atatula. That is Chris Partee in for the OG John Lopez. Yep. You hear the vibes. Of course, that means that Figgy Fig, the producer extraordinaire, always in with us. How you feeling, Chris? Like, we are into the... You also want to stretch
along? Getting stressed out. Yeah, we're going to get stressed out in here.
We are into NBA free agency, and the Rockets started with the bang themselves.
We in the thick of it, it seems like, already. Like, even though nothing is official yet, we know that, was it Dorian Finney-Smith?
That is correct.
Is coming to town, and also Clint Capella coming back.
Yes.
To the H.
Yes. So if you have anything to say on that or anything that we talk about today, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Again, 713-572-4610. But also appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch, 610 Houston. We talked a little bit about the Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't know that I knew that the deal would end up looking like that. 4 years, $55 million. I think obviously it'll be situated in such a way where the first year fits into that non-taxpayer mid-level exception that the Rockets had available to them.
Yeah.
So that $14 million-ish,
yeah.
$14.1 million if we want to be
exact.
Nerds and exact in that way. But he ends up here, a nice wing defender, 3 and D, probably I might say D and 3 because he's more of a defensive player, although he's been really good, had a career year knocking down 3-pointers last year.
That's exactly what we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Exactly what and it's funny that literally hours after we get off the air, it was official pretty much. You know what I mean? So someone did some forecasting there, right? Got that. I mean, the talks had already been out there that he was a target for the Rockets, but to see them go ahead and get it done, I mean, the Rockets are going after it, dog. They are really going after it. It seems like they're really looking to build a championship team.
Yes.
Right now. Like, that's what they're going for.
And that's funny because the Dorian Finney-Smith, like, I thought that was just necessary. We talked about it. You need more shooting on this team.
Yeah.
I'll be interested, though. I will say this, and this is a little bit of the hater in me coming out. I understand.
Here we go. Here we go. Why are you hating?
Because I heard Sean and Seth making this mention earlier that he had a career year shooting threes last year. Uh-huh. But I was like, I do think that it is worth noting that his creation with any three-point shooter, especially a spot-up shooter, because he didn't create any of that himself, really. Three-point shooting is also going to be dependent on setup. Like, one of my favorite players of all time is Jason Williams.
Okay.
White Chocolate himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And one of the things that he does, like, you see him a lot on, like, TikTok or Instagram Reels or what have you, talking about how he would set up the shot to get the laces perfectly right for his shooters. Like, not only is he getting the ball to his guys in the right pocket so it's not low, they're not having to catch it high, they can get right into their motion, but he's also setting up the shot perfectly. And I think when you look at the Lakers team last year, you have LeBron as a passer. You have Luka Doncic as a passer. Both of those guys are really great at setting guys up for shots. I'm interested to see how that shooting, like that setup for shooting happens with this Rockets team as your primary point guards will be, or your primary, setters up of
set
the
up
game,
guys,
right, will be Fred VanVleet, who's a good point guard, but I don't know that he's like the elite passing point guard, which, again, I'm not using that to denigrate him at all.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant will have the ball in his hands a decent amount, but I never viewed him necessarily as that elite level of passer, even though he can very much get the ball there. And then Reed Sheppard, I think, is going to get a lot of offensive burn as a passer, and we're still seeing him develop as a point guard. I'll be interested to see how well he shoots, but I do think, regardless, it'll be good shooting. I just wonder, between shooting 37% and shooting 41%, there might be a little distinction there, which might be a distinction without a difference, but I think it might be interesting to watch.
And I think the other thing that'll be interesting is that, you say Reed Sheppard will probably get more run at a point guard, a backup point guard. How good of a setup guy is he going to be?
Well, I mean, he's
coming off the bench. Like, we don't know that right now. We don't really have a great idea of that.
And, I mean, he impressed me starting with Summer League last year. And I'm actually very intrigued to see if he'll play Summer League again this year. I imagine that he would.
I would think so, right?
In year two,
you
especially.
You want to get
him
all the reps as possible, right?
Right, who didn't get a lot of minutes last year with the pro club or what have you, or the big league club is the way I should kind of put that. But, I mean, he is a good passer of the basketball, but that different level that really gets that helps a shooter go from, add a few extra points.
Yeah.
On their three-point shooting or on their shooting, right? I do wonder if he has that within him. But we'll see, ultimately, what that looks like when that gets there. That's neither here nor there. Like I said, a little hate break for me. I apologize.
A little hate break.
But I still love the signing. I'll be honest, though. When I saw that Clint Capella, the Swiss man himself.
Yeah, what were your thoughts
Swiss bank. My immediate thought was, wait, what? Because you
So you didn't see it coming.
No, I didn't. Like, you have Alperen Şengün, who will be your starting center. You have Steven Adams as your backup center, who you will also utilize a good amount. And I was like, so why are you bringing in a guy who is a rotation caliber center as well to put in this, as you already have a lot of size? Not only do you have, we mentioned, those guys, Şengün and Steven Adams, but then you also have Jabari Smith, who can kind of play small ball center at times. Yeah. You have Kevin Durant, who I guess in a pinch, if you need to play really small, you can have him slide there, although I don't know how much you'd want to do that. But then you're going to add another center on top of that. And speaking of, Clint Capela is a 31-year-old. Like, he's not the same Clint Capela that you had previously because he was a rim-running guy, right? Obviously, he's a rebounding guy. That still exists. But I was like, as a rim-running guy, he's not as much of a rim runner. And I don't, again, going back to your ball handlers, your setup guys, your playmakers, I don't know that you have as many guys that are, like, incredible pick-and-roll guys that also lean heavily on that lob or that could make super use of, like, that rim running. However, ultimately, I think that this, and I saw people talking about it, I got more comfortable with the idea of this is a level of insurance for Steven Adams. Because Steven Adams, they had to manage him last year. He was very good in getting offensive rebounds, but they had to manage him as well because he didn't play back-to-backs during a majority of last year. And you're going to have back-to-backs this in the season.
And that was going to be one point I was going to bring up, I think, is options. You want more options. You need more options. And when you talk about managing Steven Adams in the games he plays, when he plays, the spots you put him in his minutes, that's where Clint Capela can come into play right there. I think it's a great pickup, honestly.
And on top of that, maybe this is one of the takeaways I've seen people have, and I can very much get down with this thought process, is that the Rockets, as you talked about kind of wanting to be a championship team, this feels like a confirmation of that in a way. Like, as a championship team, you need to have contingencies. You need to make sure that there's no holes in what you're doing as much as you possibly can.
As few holes as possible.
Right. And this feels like we are going to be good at center. We're going to have some variety at center that we can mix and match if we need to. And Clint Capela still fits the larger ethos that they had last year that they're not going to step away from, which is we are going to get offensive rebounds. Like, whatever we try to do, making this offense better.
Yeah.
I think that this is an acknowledgement to some degree that you're not going to be able to entirely overhaul the offense to where now you're a top five offense per se. Like, you weren't necessarily that. So it's probably an unreasonable expectation for them to go and entirely change from there. So you're still going to need to be able to get offensive rebounds. You're still going to need to be able to get those easy putbacks. And Clint Capela averaged 8 points and 8 rebounds last year. So, like, getting a guy who also adds those rebounds, like, continues to do that and gives you another level of that. Like, this isn't, you're not going to have a drop-off if Steven Adams can't go to Jock Landale. You're going to have another rotation-level guy, with all due respect to Jock Landale, because I think he did his job admirably for what you asked of him. I think that you're going to be asking a little bit more of the center, and they're leaning further into being a big basketball player.
They're definitely on the big side as far as teams go in the NBA nowadays, but also with Clint Capela, you bring in a guy that has more experience than a Jock Landale, right? So you bring in Clint Capela, or you bring him back. It's been, 6 years now since he's been in Houston, I believe?
It feels like a long time.
About five or six years.
It feels like it's been a while that he's been gone, but you bring him back, and Reggie, like you said, he's not the exact same player like he was in his early 20s as that rim runner, but you bring him in, you stay with the ethos of being able to rebound. Weren't they number one in the league in rebounding last year? You don't want to drop. You don't want to have any drop-offs from that. You want to continue to build on that. And like you said, probably not going to end up, you know, just suddenly a top three, top five team offensively. But Kevin Durant, just his presence is going to help that. But it can't just be all of that, right?
Agreed. I'm still very much trying to see what the offense looks like just as a concept in the way that they run it. But I love what they're doing here, and the biggest thing that maybe about the Clint Capela thing is not just that they got Clint Capela. I think that that's interesting. This is per Jake Fisher, who I think writes for the Stein Line currently, a good basketball insider. Quote, Clint Capela is going to return to Houston by way of sign and trade. So, like, they obviously could have actually straight up signed him. They're going to sign and trade, and what they are sending, a 2031 second-round pick swap. Not a pick, just a pick. A pick swap.
Yeah.
So you're not losing a second.
No.
And a little bit of cash to the Hawks for facilitating this deal. And what's the additional context with this is you have, obviously, the Rockets get Clint Capela. There was another center that Brook Lopez ends up going to the Clippers.
Yeah.
There are centers that get signed, and there are teams like the Los Angeles Lakers that desperately need centers, and you're able to get Clint Capela to Houston for, not only will I just, it's not just I'll give you a second, we can swap seconds.
Exactly.
And I'll throw a little bit of cash on top of it in order to help you facilitate me getting. I was like, Raphael Stone is in his bag, right? Like this
he
is.
He really is.
This is a confirmation of the ways in which he is operating. Like, not only does he want to win a championship, that's important, obviously. He want to go get executive of the year.
I was just thinking right that. That's what this seems like. Now, I'm not saying he's intentionally going for that award, but the moves he's making, he's going for that award next season. This time next year, we might be calling him the executive of the year.
And deservedly so. Like, they've done a great job adding talent and building up what this team has, but it's not just having the talent. You have to make the shrewd moves in order to put things together. And yeah. I think largely he's doing that. I will echo one of my kind of concerns, I guess is the word that I'll use without having a better one to utilize in this moment. I still look at this guard room and I go,
yeah. You can improve it a little bit more. You can improve it.
Now, one of the things that will make it a little more interesting to me is, does this, especially the way that this thing is going, because I think Yossi Goslin, who covers the league, especially from a cap perspective, which is very appreciated, said that, Jackson Gatlin, I'll start here, from Locked On Rockets, shout out to him and his work, said the Rockets keeping Cam Whitmore in addition to their signings is a possibility per source. So the idea of Whitmore staying still exists, because we were talking about Kelly Eco had reported the idea that he might be in, you know, kind of conversations. Yeah. It's fluid. This leans a little bit closer to the idea that he might stay. The only question I have is, does he stay and then also earn the trust and respect of Ime to play? Because
that's
again,
the big part.
If we're talking about guards, you got Fred, you got Reed.
Aaron Holiday.
Aaron Holiday, that's fair, who may or may not actually be in the continuous rotation.
Yeah.
Tari Eason, who is more of a wing, but is kind of going to be slid to a guard. Yeah. Amen Thompson, who's more of a wing, that's kind of going to be slid to a guard.
Looks like he's going to slide to the two.
And, like, you don't have that many guards in
like
there.
Like, true guards.
Yeah.
You don't have that many right
and
now.
And it's not just about guards for guard's sake, but we're talking about, like, the defensive acumen of having the ability to have a little bit of lateral movement, and then also the ability to have guys that can penetrate to the paint, which I think is going to be necessary. I'm still intrigued on that portion of it. Is that a level of vulnerability that they have, or is that something where they're going to trend big and they're going to lean into that, and you're going to have some level of some places that are quote-unquote weaknesses?
I mean, with that being said, Raphael Stone, he's probably not done, right? I mean, free agency is just getting started. Like, there are other moves out there that can be made, and I don't think he's done yet. I think they may go get another guard to bring in, you know, not a big name, obviously, but someone that can come in that second unit for the rotation.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to be able to make that particularly happen, because they're at 14 players right now. You can have 15, but the way that the salary cap would be set up with this, it feels like they are pretty well situated just kind of going into the season with these 14 players.
You think so?
If you're looking at the way the salary cap sets up, without them, you know, going into a different level of tax and what have you, it feels like this might be where they are. But if this is where they are, they do have a lot of weapons in order to make some things shake. There is still the question of, where does the scoring come from if Durant is out? Like, there's still questions on how that particularly goes. But it feels like you've given yourself some answers to have some shooting, have some, obviously have your ability to continue to defend, and then also
and rebound, you still can do that too,
right, and have your double big opportunity. Someone threw out the idea of a triple big. You want Alperen Şengün playing the four?
A triple
or not,
big?
Sorry, not the four, the three.
So
unless you're considering
Capella at the five?
Unless we're considering Jabari Smith Jr. as the three.
Okay,
which
maybe.
You can do.
Yeah, you can put him there.
But I don't know that
But you'd have Durant at the four now.
Durant? I've seen
people
talking
about
Durant as like a two.
In the day when he first came into the league, he did play the two.
He played the three.
No, early, like his first year.
He was wild.
Yeah, his first year early on, he played the two.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, so we'll see. There is a little bit of basketball news happening. We'll talk more about like what free agency in general looks like. But Miles Turner of the NBA Finals reaching Pacers.
Damn, did he leave?
He has signed a 4-year deal to go play with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks were starting to look like they were not going to do nothing for Giannis, and maybe that would make him ask out. I do feel like the Miles Turner is like, hey, big fella, don't worry about it. We got something for
you. We're trying to do something, man.
Don't go nowhere.
Well, I mean, they lost Brooke Lopez, so but then the next day they get Miles Turner.
Younger facsimile. He's not necessarily as good as a shot blocker as Brook Lopez is, but
not quite as good.
Younger.
Or at least not Brook in his prime.
And
definitely
a similar, if not better, shooter. So we'll talk more about hoop as we continue to go in the loop right here on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about these Astros who start on the road tonight in Colorado. Are you ready to take the Astros over the field yet? Yeah, man, they've been that good. Let's talk about it next.